show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. Jeff Pedro is out today, and we're glad to have you with us. Shooting from the Hip is a show sponsored by Sim Trainer, Dayton area's first indoor shooting range and firearms training center, where we go over pretty much anything that you need to do with related to firearms. We teach basic handgun classes. We teach introductory handgun classes. This morning we had a first shots class. That class is a whole lot of fun. It's a great way for people to get introduced you to the shooting sports, find out what it is to hold a firearm. A lot of the people that are in that class have never even been in the same room with a handgun before. So we work through the fundamentals, talk about firearm safety, talk about the basics of placing an accurate shot, and then we go out into the range, have a little fun, make a little bit of noise, and a lot of times we end up handing out prizes too. We had a bunch of folks who had a really good job today, and we handed out some free t-shirts and some other things. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, you can contact the range at 293-3914 and make reservations for a class. The range is located on Dryden Road, just south of the river, at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine. And if you'd like to get more information about that, you can stop by the range, or you can go to our website at sim-trainer.com. And there's all the listings of our classes are there, where you'll be able to find us physically located, information about the different programs that we offer, the memberships and so forth, and how you can become a member of the range and come down for recreational shooting, do the whatever type of firearms activities that you enjoy. We also would like to have you be part of this show, Shooting from the Hip, and you can do that by calling the studio at 457-1290. That's area code 937-457-1290 for those who might be outside the listening area and listening on the website. Our radio page for the show is sim-trainer.com/radio, and if you'd like to be listening live online, you can do that at newstalkradio.whio.com and click the Listen Live button, and we'd be more than happy to have you join us from pretty much wherever you are in the world. We've had folks calling in from all over the place, and we really appreciate that wide listenership, and we are glad that you're part of the show today. Though over the last few weeks, we've been talking about some bills that were passed recently in the Ohio legislature. They were signed a couple weeks ago on the 1st of July. I guess it was the last week. The governor signed the both bills, as well as several other bills they signed. The first bill was House Bill 54, which changes the way that Ohio processes the restoration of rights for people who have, for some reason, lost their right to firearms, to own and possess firearms, and they can get those rights restored through a process. And because of the way the Ohio law was written, there was a single exclusion that was included, and that exclusion the federal government then recognized as meaning if any is excluded, then we do not recognize that restoration at all. Ohio needed to change the law in order to allow those people that they have gone through the process and say, yes, you have a right to keep and bear arms again, and to have that recognized at the federal level so they'd actually be able to purchase a firearm and would not be in violation of federal law. So that law was changed, and that was signed again on the 1st of July. And then we also had another bill, which is one that's generated a lot more interest, and that is Senate Bill 17 that had two things. First, and the one that gets a lot less interest, is the car carry portion of that bill. That changes the way that a licensed individual can carry their firearm when they're in their motor vehicle. Right now, there are four ways in which you can carry, and that will change to any way that you want to carry your firearm safely. You'll be able to do that. There will no longer be a list of ways that are permitted for carrying your motor vehicle. The other half of that bill is what's been referred to as restaurant carry or carry in bars, mixing guns and alcohol, depending on which side of that fence that you fall on. And we have had many questions about that. We've talked quite a bit about the fact that that bill does and what it would do, and there's a lot of disagreement as to whether that is a good idea or not. The Ohio legislature decided that was something that would be done. The governor signed the bill, and in fact, those bills, now we know when they will go into effect. On the 30th of September, that will be the case. So on the 30th of September, if you have a license to carry concealed handgun, it will no longer be a felony for you to go into a restaurant that serves alcohol that has a D-liquor license, basically. And that sometimes you may not know whether or not the place serves alcohol. just by walking into the store. I mean, if it's a regular restaurant that has a bar, obviously that's pretty obvious that they serve alcohol. If it's a bar, clearly they serve alcohol. That's typically the main source of income for a place like that. But there's other places that have a D-liquor license that have the ability to serve alcohol and may not do that on a regular basis, or may not be some place that you normally think of as a place that serves alcohol. So if that's the case now and the door's not posted, come on the 30th of September, it will no longer be a felony for you to carry into that establishment. However, just as is the case with all retail establishments now, the owners and managers of that facility can post a sign on the door that says no weapons are allowed, and that applies to you as the licensed concealed carry holder as well. The standard sign that is provided by the on the Secretary of State's website, or rather the Attorney General's website, that says has the image of a firearm with a red circle and a slash through it. The narrative on that sign says, unless otherwise allowed by law, that does not mean that you have a license to carry a concealed handgun and that you can go past that sign legally. What that means is Mr. Law Enforcement, who carries in some way other than pursuant to a concealed handgun license, they would still be able to go through as they can now. So that's kind of a level set on what the issue is all about. And today we have with us in the studio two folks who are directly related to this issue and have some personal involvement in it. We have Mark Metzger from the Boulevard House, downtown Dayton. And we have David Boston from the Boston Bistro. And is also the downtown Dayton?
No, actually, I'm 6 miles north on the corner of Dogleg and 48, just south of Clayton Englewood.
Okay, so, but, you know, both of you are obviously in the Dayton area, and we contacted you because you were quoted in an article in the Dayton Daily News that had some characterization of your words. And so what we'd like to do is let you have a little bit of opportunity to talk to our audience, which is principally folks that are, most of the time, at least based on the calls that we get, there are folks that are supportive of the right to keep and bear arms. We have encouraged anyone to listen and get information and to contact us if you disagree with us. You know, we're obviously more than willing to talk with you, and we're not going to chew anybody's head off. We deal with the facts around here. We like to throw the ideas into the arena and let them beat each other up, but we're not going to beat up on folks. So I really do want to thank you guys for coming into the studio today. And we'll also have some, after we'll talk a little bit, then we'll open up the phone lines and let people ask you questions if they have any as well. So again, the phone numbers here is 457-1290 if anybody wants to get in to the queue to talk about some of these issues. 457-1290, and Justin will take your calls and get you up on the board. So let me just give you guys an opportunity to say a little bit about where you are, what you do, and a little bit about your view on the topic. Mark, go ahead.
Well, I've been a bartender for almost 14 years in various bars from California to here, and currently just been working in the Oregon District for about 5 years now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And for those that are outside the Dayton area, the Oregon District is right downtown?
Mm-hmm. It's right on Fifth Street.
Okay.
Right just east of Main Street.
Okay. And that's just a little bit north of 35 and, mm-hmm. and right there right in the heart of downtown Dayton.
Yes.
For those obviously in the Dayton area, they know about the Oregon District. It's a very popular place. There's a lot of restaurants and bars along that strip. And it's a place that has been kind of renovated over the last several years. It was kind of a rough area for a while, and it's gone a little bit more upscale. I know there are several nice, very nice places, and the Boulevard mm-hmm. House is obviously one of those that's in that area. Mm-hmm. Okay. And David, tell us a little bit about Boston Bistro.
This is my 30th year of business under the Boston Sports page, Boston's Bistro name. In 1975, I was on North Dixie and Little York Road, called Schnitzelbank Beer Garden, which later became the Little York Tavern. So being in the business for well over 35, 37 years, my parents were in the industry on the west side, North Dayton. I've been around the consumption and industry for quite a long time.
So let me ask you then, and we'll just go dive right into this. Tell us a little bit about your view of firearms and the possession of firearms within those facilities by people who are licensed. Now, we recognize that people who aren't licensed or people who are criminals, they don't pay attention to those laws. So those aren't really the folks that we're talking about. We had several examples where bad things have happened recently There was a story that we were just talking about before we went on the air about a situation where somebody had gone in and held up a location down in the Oregon District at gunpoint. And, you know, that we recognize that happens. We've seen that happen in several places, and there's been some video that's been posted from surveillance cameras within facilities, and we see that obviously is a problem, and it's something that happens. And clearly, putting signs on the door, or as it was before, just the mere possession of a firearm in that facility being a felony, wasn't enough to stop those folks from happening. So clearly, those aren't the folks we're talking about. But in terms of the concept of SB 17, your views were related in the Dayton Daily News a little bit. And so let our listeners who may not have seen that story, you know, kind of give them a summary snapshot of where your position is on that.
Well, in my opinion, the people that carry a firearm, go through the training, understand the value and the importance and the danger of a firearm, they're trained mentally and physically to be able to handle themselves under an awkward situation, being an asset to the situation rather than a detriment or something fatal. And helping the people that are in that public assembly is really to the benefit of the people that are there. Nobody wants to see a gun. Nobody wants to be around guns, especially when they're enjoying themselves. But the responsible people that do carry concealed and other firearms are not the people that obviously abuse the attitude of having that firearm with them. So being around many people that do carry arms, knowing that they do not consume when they're carrying arms, we understand the responsibility that they have to the public and to themselves, but they also are protectors. They are the people that are the silent people that step up and they take care of what needs to be taken care of because other people are not capable.
You touched on something that I think we need to reiterate, and it's not something that I mentioned in the intro, but it is something that's part of the law, and that is that when the law goes into effect on the 30th of September, that doesn't change anything in terms of consumption. So you, as a licensed individual, you currently would be committing a felony if you carried your firearm in there. But now, if you go through, you must not consume any alcohol. The way the bill was originally written, it was you could not consume liquor. And the way Ohio has defined those, beer would have been included. In the last amendment that came through the House, that took beer off the table as well. So now there's no alcohol consumption at all for anybody that's carrying a firearm pursuant to their license in a place like that. So I think that's a good point for people to understand that if you don't realize that when we say, you know, the guns in bars, we're not really talking about anybody who's consuming alcohol. So, you know, we talk about, well, having guns and alcohol together, not a good idea. Most of the gun clubs that sell alcohol keep the bar closed until all the shooting is done for the day. And I kind of understand that, although we've had some folks that say, you know, if I'm going to be responsible, what difference does it make? If I have one beer and I'm not impaired, why should that matter? And, you know, that's a different point, and that's not the way the current law is currently written. So although, you know, that's an interesting discussion to have, it's not relevant certainly not for the 30th of September. So, Mark, your description was a little bit different in terms of the way they characterized your report in the Dayton Daily News.
Pretty much my opinion. I'm not concerned about the museums and the stadiums and the restaurants because those are generally full of responsible people. I'm more concerned with some of the places I've worked at before, bars, just straight up a bar. And there was a reason that the original law was put into place, and I think it probably stemmed from the Wild West days. It's, you know, people tend to not be responsible when they've had too much to drink, even though no matter how much training they've had, it can happen. And I just kind of feel that allowing guns now into that environment again is going to, we're just going to get the same situations we had 100 years ago.
Okay. And, well, let's clarify a little. Oh, we got to take a break. I've just run completely over, was having so much fun not paying attention to the clock. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Thank you, Uncle Ted. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and we're glad to have you back with us. Give us a call at 457-1290 if you'd like to jump in on the discussion. We'll probably not take calls right away because we still got a few more things we want to talk about here with our guests in studio, who are Mark Metzger from the Boulevard House and David David Boston from the Boston Bistro and Pub. And so, again, guys, welcome. Thank you very much to come in into the show. During the break, we were talking a little bit about the ability of folks to carry and how that changes come September, and how that has changed also in September of 2008. I think it's important for people to realize that the bar owner or the person who is a primary licensee for the liquor license is able to carry a firearm in their own establishment as of September of 2008, and also any off-duty law enforcement that they hire for security would also be able to carry. So that's just something that, you know, some people may not be aware of, but that is the current case. Mark, you were saying that you've never been in a bar that didn't have a gun in there someplace.
Every bar I've ever worked at's always had a gun, and either in the office or the safe or hidden somewhere. It's just common. I've always known it to be that way.
And why would that be?
Well, the owner wants to protect themselves.
Okay. And obviously that is the most effective means of self-defense in a violent situation. There are obviously many other options for defending oneself, but statistically, those who defend themselves with a firearm have about a 20% chance of having a serious injury. And those that defend themselves with any other way, it's 50% or worse. So clearly, defense with a firearm is one way. In a violent situation, that's certainly the most effective way to deal with such a situation. Now, but before we go into the break, let's just do one more thing and let folks know, and then when we come back from the break, we'll open the phones and see what people, and if they have any questions for you, or, you know, we can continue our discussion. We got more than enough to talk about without anybody calling in, but we do have some folks on the line, and we'd like to get them into the discussion as well. Give the listeners a little bit of summary of what you are planning, if you're willing to say, and if you don't want to say, that's perfectly okay, what you're planning for your facility come 30 September. Are the citizens who are licensed to carry a firearm, will they be able to carry in your facility or not? Mark?
As far as I know, both places I work at are not going to allow it. One bar is not going to allow it just for the fact that she doesn't want guns in her bar. The other bar is not going to allow it because they get an insurance break.
They get an insurance break.
Yep. They get a discount on their insurance. They don't allow guns into the bar.
Okay. Interesting. Of course, that doesn't stop the people who are the illegal.
That is true. That is true.
Fascinating. Maybe we'll come back to that later. David?
I'm going to take polls.
Okay.
I have a lot of municipality service people from all over the Miami Valley that come into my business.
Okay.
As we were downtown for 23 years, and now that we're north, we're on four different precincts, and I think we're going to open it up for discussion. It's a community. We're not a bar. We're not a restaurant. We're a public house. We're part of the community, and we want to be visible and support the community. I believe that the more information that I get from different types of people that are already caring and the people that are already law enforcement agencies, I want to be popular in my neighborhood.
That's always a good thing for a business.
Well, you have to. I mean, I don't want to scare off anybody that is going to boycott me because I allow it or don't allow it, but we know that people have been carrying guns for centuries.
Okay, when we come back, we'll take your calls at 457-1290. We'll go now into the news center with Bill Scheidel. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be on the show, give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number in here to the studio, area code 937 if you're from outside the area, and we'd love to get you involved in this program as well. In our studio today, we have two guests with us, Mark Metzger from the Boulevard House downtown and David Boston from the Boston Bistro and Pub. And again, welcome, guys, and thank you very much for being part of the show. David, just before, while we were out on the break, you mentioned something about, what is one of the kind of the important things as to making a decision like that is to having good information, knowing what the laws are and knowing how that affects you. Talk to folks a little bit just about that before we go out to the phones.
Well, just when we were off the air, realizing the fine line of the law, being able to carry as a property owner or a license permit carrier is different than what we assumed the law was, as many years that I've been in the industry. being an agent for the state of Ohio Liquor Department by selling their product and collecting for them, and then being a carrier of cash back and forth to the banks. I've always assumed, even though that may or may not have been a actual permit for me to do so, that I could always carry. I think knowledge of the law is much easier than to find out
the hard way.
There's no asking for forgiveness.
Yeah, there isn't. And in fact, what you were saying was accurate prior to the Ohio concealed handgun law going into effect back in April of 2004. That was when they removed the affirmative defense. And what you're talking about is, even though there was a prohibition, if you were carrying for a legitimate legal purpose, you would be able to carry, and it would be an affirmative defense that if you were charged with carrying a concealed handgun, you could say, yeah, but I'm doing it for this reason. And, you know, I'm an agent of the state for collecting I have a liquor license and collect the taxes and so forth that go with that. And plus I carry money. And so I want this for personal defense. And that would have been a legitimate defense until 2004. And then after that, that was removed when the concealed handgun law went into effect. So I'm glad we've clarified that up.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. That's really part of why we're here on Shooting from the Hip, because there's an awful lot of information that people have that's incorrect. People, either because they haven't kept up with things that have happened, or because there's rumor out there, there's a lot of lore, that things that people believe that ain't necessarily so. As Reagan said, you know, it's not so much that what they know, it's just what they know that isn't so, that we have to be concerned about. And so that's part of the reason we're here. Let us go out to the phones and we'll talk to Nick, who's calling from Germantown. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. How can we help you?
I got two quick questions.
Okay.
I work at a bar and grill in Germantown.
Okay.
And so if we post the signs not allowing people to carry, and they're caught with one inside, is it still a felony, and will they be stripped of their license?
I'll have to take that and double check it, but my understanding is that their license would be suspended, but not stripped from them. In other words, they would be on like a probationary status for a year. It's because it would be a criminal trespassing charge,
okay,
which would
so
be the same. Yeah, and that's I'm not absolutely certain about that, and I'll take that question and get back to you. But that's my understanding of it. That it falls under the same category as any other business that's posted right now, which is a criminal trespassing charge.
Okay,
if
so
you
it
are,
doesn't matter that it sells alcohol.
It's no, as long as they're not consuming. If they consume, then their presence there would be a felony, but that's different.
Okay, and my second question, is the carry conceal only referring to firearms, or would that work with like tactical folders and defense knives?
The license to carry concealed handgun is specifically addressing handguns in Ohio. Now, there are other states that have different types of laws. Concealed weapon, or CCW, is sometimes just referred to. But your concealed handgun license in Ohio applies only to firearms. And there are no specific restrictions on other things. Yes, carrying a knife could be considered a weapon, but it's also a tool, and a knife is not automatically considered a deadly weapon as a firearm is. So that's a little bit different category.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Great. Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out to John, who's calling from the road. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How can we, what would you like to add to this discussion?
Well, I always, whenever I'd see one of the signs on the business that said you couldn't carry inside, that was just like a big neon sign to a robber saying, come on in.
Okay. There certainly have been people who have made that statement before. I don't know that that's that there's any specific scientific evidence to suggest that, but there's certainly posters that indicate that. One of the names for those places are criminal protection zones. The Ohioans for Concealed Carry has a sign that you can print off that says, you know, with the gun and the logo around it, that says, this is a criminal protection zone. Criminals, all of our law-abiding citizens have been disarmed for your convenience. It's a little bit sarcastic and snarky, but, you know, the point is, that's kind of the point of that sign. Again, I don't know if there's any evidence to suggest that. There's obviously some empirical evidence that people with guns do go into places that are either posted or not posted, which are off limits, like restaurants and bars that serve alcohol right now are. And again, as we were talking about at the beginning of the show, we have just an incident just a week or so ago in the Oregon district where that was in fact the case. Somebody went in there with a gun and held the place up at gunpoint. Clearly, the fact that it was off limits didn't stop them from doing that. So,
how many states are is Ohio's license recognized in?
I believe it's a total of 30, including Ohio. I'll have to double check that, but the one that most recently added was Iowa, because of, and it's not because of Ohio, it's because they changed their law and they recognize other licenses. So I believe it's 30. There are, I think, 20 states that we have reciprocity with, plus there are the rest of the states that that recognize our license, even if we don't recognize theirs.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out to Robert, who's calling us from someplace I don't know where and has a question for us. So, Robert, welcome to the show.
Hello. Right.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
I was calling from Dayton.
Okay.
Yes,
If you're on a speakerphone, it would really help if you
put...
Okay.
No, okay. My radio is off.
Okay.
I'm on my earphone.
All right. That's fine. It's just to speak clearly where it's a little echoey.
A little bit better.
That's a little better. Go ahead.
That's right. I'm on my earphone.
Okay. Robert, I'm sorry. It's just too hard for us to be able to hear you. Could you call back and we'll get you in as soon as you call back in, because we're just having a real hard time hearing you. I can't understand anything you're saying. So try maybe you'll get a better connection on the next one. I apologize for that, but we can't understand what you're saying. Let's go out to Wes, who's calling from Springboro. Wes, welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, first off, I'd like to say you're doing a great service to the shooters and the citizens by having this show. I'd like to commend you for that.
Thank you very much.
I have a question. I have a friend who is an avid shooter, and he informed me of a House Bill 258, I think it is. And the House Bill 258 is that... that you don't have to have a concealed carry permit, and that under the Second Amendment, it doesn't tell you how you have to carry your weapon.
Okay.
And that may come up in October, and I'm not aware, and I thought I would call and see if you knew anything about that.
Sure. Be glad to talk about that for just a couple of minutes. It's House Bill 256. It's called Constitutional Carry. It would eliminate the need for you to get a license to carry a concealed handgun. However, you would still have to have the training associated. So you would need to be qualified to have a license. It would mean that you would no longer need to apply for the license, but all the same requirements would still be in place. So you'd have to have the same training that people have to have now. They would just simply not have to apply for a license. So they would have to meet all the legal requirements, background check that would be on your own. You obviously remember your own background, so you would have to read through that and make sure that you didn't have anything there. Something else that you could do would be to go ask them to pull a background check for you and see if anything comes back. But you would need to be qualified for a license. You would just not have to get one. One thing is that you would have to carry with you some certification that showed that you have met those qualifications, and then you would be able to carry a concealed handgun in Ohio without a concealed handgun license.
Yeah, I would think that training would be necessary for people anyway. Yes, I appreciate that, and I just want to be clarified on that law, and I didn't know if he, if he knew what he was talking about or what, but he's a pretty avid shooter, and he made it aware to me, and I was like, well, I said, I'll call Mark Avery and I'll ask him about this.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, there's an excellent article on this bill on the Buckeye Firearms Association website, and we'll link to that as well as to the bill probably later this weekend when I put the notes up for the show.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling the show. Let's go back a little bit and talk to the question about SB 17 and guns and bars. And one of the things that we were talking about is that, you know, if you don't post, then there's no sign on the door that says one way or the other. You're not going in the face of people who think guns should not be in bars. You're not prohibiting carry in a place for people who know what the law is. And those would be the people that have a license to carry a concealed handgun, because the classes are pretty adamant about letting people know what the laws are. At least certainly ours is. In fact, we have an attorney come teach that portion, so I know he's cranking his slides right now, getting ready for the class that we have next weekend, and making sure that people know what that is, and making sure that they have the right information, which we talked about earlier, how important that is to know what the right information is. If you have a sign on the door now, because anybody that has a license to sell liquor, if people don't know, people coming in don't know that that's the case, then they may want to post a sign on the door just to inform their customers, oh, by the way, don't carry a firearm in here because that would be a felony. If those signs come down, it doesn't change anything right now. If the sign like that that they have posted for the courtesy comes down, it doesn't change whether you can carry. You still can't carry until the 30th of September. But at least that way, on the 30th of September, those people who know that they have a license and could carry, if the place is not posted off limits, on the 30th of September, they would be able to come, take part of the services, other services you offer besides alcohol. I think that's an important piece of information for folks like you who run or work at facilities. Is that something that is useful to you? They can't hear your shaking of your head.
I just think it comes down to the owner's rights.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's
absolutely true. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We need to take our last break of the hour. So if you'd like to get on the show, give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio, and we will get you up on the board. We're talking with Mark Metzger and David Boston. And this is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. And in the studio today, we have two guests with us. We're talking about carry in guns and bars. Restaurant carry, really Senate Bill 17 that was passed and goes into effect on the 30th of September. Mark Metzger and David Boston, thank you guys very much again for being part of the show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
This has been a great show. Anybody that's missed the whole thing, just tuning in here at the end, you have missed out, but you're not going to miss out entirely because we'll take the audio for this show and put it up on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio. I'm going to be free this afternoon, so I may actually have a chance to get that done and get that posted today. If not, I'll try to certainly get it up by the end of the weekend, as that's always my target. Those who follow that regularly know that I miss that target pretty regularly. I miss that target a lot more than the ones I shoot at the range. Let's talk to Dayton, Germantown, Dennis out calling from Germantown, and welcome to the show, Dennis.
My question is, I just recently got my concealed carry license in April, and there's been a couple times where I would be out in public, and I carry a 45, so it's pretty large, and I usually try to keep it covered with my shirt, but it's been a couple times where my shirt would get caught over top of it and it'd be exposed, and people in stores have said things to me, and I just didn't know if I could possibly get in any trouble for that or if there's a restriction on open carry or...
No, that's a good question. There is no legal restriction on open carry in Ohio. If you are carrying pursuant to your license and it is exposed, unlike in some places like Florida, for instance, if you open carry in Florida, you've committed a pretty serious offense. In Ohio, that is not the case. In fact, the Ohio Constitution, Article 1, Section 4, gives a right to keep and bear arms to the citizens, and the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that if you're going to ban concealed carry, then open carry has to be legal or the and bear part is void. So you are allowed to carry openly. Now, we don't recommend it, and the fact that you have a license to carry and that's your objective, I think that's probably a good thing. But on the other side of that, you will probably get some undesired attention. And that's why a lot of people decide that they don't want anything to do with open carry. The other thing is that, you know, there is the concept or the thought that open carry is a deterrent. And when people see someone with a gun, they may say, you know, maybe this isn't the place to get too terribly stupid. So, you know, that's the other side of it. I think there's a tactical advantage to keeping the gun concealed, but there is certainly no legal prohibition on that in Ohio. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling the show. Well, before we wrap up here, let me give you guys each an opportunity to speak. Tell folks a little bit more. You know, you committed an hour to this program. The least we can do is let you give a plug for your facilities. So, Mark, go ahead.
I bartend at the Boulevard House. It's one of Dayton's only German restaurants. We carry the Hofbräu line. We actually do ship our Hofbräu beer in from Munich. We don't buy it from the Hofbräu House down in Kentucky. Not saying that that beer's bad, just it's a little different.
It's just not German.
It's just not German. It's Kentuckian.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And David?
I've been in...
David Boston, that is. So there's a relation there?
Absolutely. Boston's Bistro and Pub has been around the community, supporting the community in lots of different areas. We're a specialty beer house, craft beers. We have 100 labels from all over the world, and then we have 16 draft beers with cask condition ales as well that are rotating every day. So every keg of beer is another keg of beer from somewhere in the world, as well as gourmet pizzas. So we have specialty pizzas, everything from Alfredo, pesto, mashed potato, with a Hungarian twist that make my own food and
put it
out there.
So for those who, if you decide not to post your place off limits, and the same would be true for the Boulevard House, there's plenty of things to do besides drink alcohol. For those who are not carrying, and there's some awfully good selections there as well. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being part of this show today. I would like to remind folks very quickly that we do have a concealed carry class next weekend. So if you are interested in getting your license to carry concealed, then you can come down to the range and sign up for that class, or just call at 293-3914. We are out of time. Thank you very much for being part of the show today. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, going into the top of the hour with the news on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.